Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
The Bible says if you'll draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. You initiate the action. How close to God do you want to be? How much more of Him do you want to encounter and experience? If you'll draw near, He said, I'll draw near to you. So it's an open invitation. Don't miss out on that. I want to introduce to you a great new brother and sister and friends in the Lord, John and Linda. Come on up here with me. These are new members to our church. And I want to introduce to you some wonderful people. And I want to introduce John and Linda to your family here. This is John and Linda. Everybody say John.
John.
Linda. Linda. Don't get that mixed up, okay? And their last name is Salato. Salato. So he's Italian. Welcome to the familia. Hey. Hey, mamma mia. Hey. All right. But I wanted you to meet them. I want you to get to know them. They're so precious. In fact, John has already said that he was never baptized as a believer, baptized as a young boy, as a Catholic. But he wants to be baptized the first Sunday in January 2021. John's going to be the first baptism. How about that? Wow. I'd like you to pray for them right now. Would you just stretch your hand toward them and just bless them right now? Just pray God's blessing and favor be upon them. Lord, we pray for John and Linda that you brought them to us and they are precious treasures. Help us to love them, to accept them, to minister to them, to help them. And may they in the same just reciprocate by just being here with us, Lord, and share their love. And we pray that you help them find their ministry, what you want them to do. We just thank you for them and we bless them and we pray that you'll send many more people like them to Grace Tabernacle. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, guys. We love you. Appreciate you being with us. Amen. And we're going to put some extra ice cubes in that water and make sure John is serious about that. He asked, he said, is the water heated? Sometimes it is, sometimes it ain't. No, it will be. We'll make sure of that. Amen. Just God bless you. Just good to see you. Yes, sir? You're waving at me. I can't see what is it? Huh? Oh, I won't forget the offering, brother. One of our elders said, we don't want you to forget the offering.
Well, he does sometimes.
I have forgotten sometimes. Yeah, that's not the main thing. We're thankful for the opportunity to give. And we give, it's a way of expressing our trust in God and our faith in God. And God has been faithful. God has provided for this church miraculously. Miraculously. I mean, we've had our ups and downs in 17 years like every church does. And you go through times when people are here and when people aren't here and people aren't always faithful, but God's faithful. And I don't know how He does it. He always amazes me. But is He a good provider to you? Wow. And not that we haven't gone through lean times as people, as individuals. We all have those stories, you know, where, you know, you look back in your life and you think, wow, I mean, and you have to shake your head and you have to say, only God. Only God. He brought me through. And the same is true if you were over here on my side or the leadership side of the church and you could see, boy, we've gone through some lean times and difficult times, but yet God has been faithful through all of it. And I think He's trying to teach us to trust Him with everything. And so when we take up an offering, we don't make a big to-do about it. I don't preach a message. You know, some preachers preach a message before the message. They preach a message about tithing and trying to encourage everybody to give. Well, I used to do some of that, but I don't anymore. We just trust God for that. But God will speak to your heart about giving. And if you need help and understanding of what he expects, you talk to me. I'll be glad to talk to you about that. But the challenge of tithing is a real challenge for your faith sometimes, to trust God, to give God that first 10%. And if you need to know more about that, please talk to me. We had our own struggles with it growing up in the Lord and learning to trust God. And trusting God is really what God, that's your expression of faith, trusting God. So you see all the ways we have to give, opportunities to give. It'll be up on the screen here. And we just welcome you to be faithful. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Two words. I want you to walk out here and think on these two words the rest of the day, maybe the rest of the week, maybe the rest of your life. Two words are to mark your life. Two words. Everybody here should have multitudes of testimonies where at the end, people who hear your testimonies, whether it's testimony of provision, testimony of healing, a testimony of protection, they say these two words. After they hear your testimony, these two words, here they are. Only God. Only God. Only God could have brought you through. Only God could have done this. Only God made this happen. And sometimes God allows us things to get worse before they get better so that we won't glorify a doctor or medicine or a bank or whatever, rich people, that will glorify him where he only gets the glory. These two words ought to characterize your life. You ought to have testimonies right now that's that right there. That would just be the title. Only God. Only God. This past week, I had a friend from high school that I haven't talked to since we graduated high school. He was my best friend in high school, and we did some crazy things. Oh my goodness, crazy things. And he called me on the phone, and I was so shocked. It was wonderful to connect with him again, to hear his voice. And we started reminiscing. We said, hey, you remember this? Hey, you remember that? Hey, you remember when we did that? You remember why we're still alive? We didn't get killed when we did that? Remember? We started reminiscing. It was so much fun to talk about the things. And one of those times, I'll just tell you a quick story. Now, this was my BC days, okay, before Christ days. So, but we had a lot of fun, but we told a lot of stories. One of those times he brought up and reminded me of it. He said, hey, remember that time that we stopped at a convenience store, stopped somewhere, and the police cars pulled in behind us real quick, and they drew their guns on us and told us to get out of the car and all that, and we're lifting our hands, and we're wondering what's going on. And then they come up to us, and they start questioning us because someone had just robbed a store or something down the road that fit our description in our car, and we're teenagers. We just came off the beach from surfing or doing something crazy, having fun, and the police were there. And it was this exciting time. It was like, wow, this is really cool, And we're enjoying it. We think we're going to be handcuffed and put in the car and taken to jail. We know we're innocent. And so we did the craziest thing, and I don't recommend doing this. The police came up and said, okay, we know you did this. We know you guys were the robbers down the store. We got your ID. We know. We have eyewitnesses. And we said, yep, we did it. Oh. I'm telling you, that's excellent. It's a good description of stupidity right there. But we said, yeah, we did it. And we were just going along with it, And finally they said, no, you guys are idiots. You didn't do that. Get out of here. They let us go, And I'd forgotten about that story. And I said, I got to tell my church family that. They wouldn't believe their pastor was that stupid. But yeah, well, you might believe it. I don't know. But it doesn't really matter. But we just had so many fun times that we look back on. We did a lot of stupid things and things that I wouldn't want you to even know about, to be honest with you, in those BC days. There's a saying, you may have heard it before. God protects fools and drunks. Anybody ever heard that? That's not a verse in the Bible, by the way. Don't try to look it up. It's not a proverb, okay? And that's sometimes true. And boy, I can tell you, yeah, God has protected me from some very foolish things, Rod. And I'll bet you got some stories too, don't you? You're looking all so holy at me right now, like, you know, you wouldn't do a thing. But come on, I bet you got some stories that if we sat down and talked, you would go, oh, my goodness. And I would say, wow, I didn't realize you were that stupid either. It's amazing. You know, no, we all have those stories where we can look back over our shoulder, you know, and say, only God. Even when I wasn't following Christ or looking for him or only God. Or maybe you have a testimony of where you had a miraculous healing, like John Moorhead has had an incredible story. He shared that here one time, his testimony, miraculous healing. He was on death's doorstep and obviously on his way out. And the only reason, John, that you're here today is that you can say those two words, only God. He's working the camera for us right now. Only God, yeah. Maybe you had a miraculous provision that came just at the time that, you know, you were about to go under financially, and you can say those words, oh yeah, I know those words, only God. So today when you leave, those two words are going to follow you. They're going to stay in your memory, and you're going to recall times in your life where it was only God. Or maybe you're about to have one of those encounters where you'll be able to say again, only God. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to give you faith. We just sang songs about how God is with us and he's for us. He is. He's with us and he's for us. I want to show you a scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the title of the message, if you need a title, is Only God. It makes sense, right? Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, his handiwork, born anew in Christ Jesus, that we may do the good works that God has already planned beforehand, that we'll walk in those things that he's prearranged and made ready for us. If we say God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life, then it goes to prove and adds to the strength of the fact that he's also prearranged for us to be able to do some things that he has arranged for us to do. Meet the right people, be in the right place at the right time, do the miraculous or an answer to prayer, or we lay hands on the sick and we see them healed. I mean, God is at work in our life is what that's trying to say. How many people believe that? God is an incredible artist. Incredible artist. And an artist is not ashamed to sign his work. And God signs his work in your life. And his signature is very mysterious. He often signs it with two words. What are they? That's his signature. In your life. Only God. Then you know, this is a work of God. It wasn't how smart I was or the people around me, how smart they were or anything like that. It's just how great God is. He can do miracles, signs, and wonders through our life. And he wants us to cooperate with him. One of those only God moments I want to present to you today in the book of Luke chapter 1. It has to do with a man named Zechariah and a wife, his wife named Elizabeth. And he was a priest, they were people of God. They had been praying for a child. You probably know the story. And they got older in years, and it seemed like that their answer for prayer was not going to come about. They got older, and it seemed like it was going to be past the time for them to ever have a child. Sometimes God lets things get worse before they get better. Sometimes God prearranges your circumstances so you walk through the valley of the shadow of death so that when finally God does decide to answer, you will say those two words. What are they? And Zechariah and Elizabeth were the parents of John the Baptist. And they had an only God story to tell. And I want you to look at this with me in Luke chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. In Luke chapter 1, it says, it happened. That's how God writes these mystery stories. It just like, oh, it just so happened. It happened to be Zechariah's time to serve as a priest before God. It happened by the casting of lots, which is like throwing dice or something, that the honor fell to Zechariah to enter the holy place and put incense upon the altar of prayer. You got to realize they had a lot of priests. They all wanted to have the opportunity to go into the tabernacle or go into the holy place and sprinkle incense upon the altars of prayer. That would be a very, very high honor to be able to do that. And it just so happened that Zechariah was chosen for this particular time. How many of you can say God is in the business of prearranging and ordaining your steps so that you'll wind up being in the right place at the right time? How many of you have ever had an encounter like that where you could say, only God could do that? I mean, you're face to face in front of somebody, or you're at a place at a time that God had prearranged it. You didn't feel anything. You didn't see an angel. You didn't have any current directive from God to do anything, but you happened to wind up in the right place at the right time. How many of you realize God is a genius at doing that? I stand amazed. I can't tell you how many times meeting people, witnessing to people, ministering to people, that God has put me in the right place at the right time. It's like He's prearranged my steps. He's prearranged for me to be at a certain place and a certain time. And notice it says in this scripture that it was by the casting of lots. That's an Old Testament procedure. We don't use that anymore. But you got to remember, this was prior to people being filled with the Spirit of God or having the Spirit of God in them. We don't cast lots anymore to find out what is God's direction, what is God's will. In fact, the last time that casting of lots is mentioned in the Bible is in the Old Testament. It was after Judas has hung himself, betrayed Christ, hung himself, and the disciples had to pick between two qualified men who was going to replace Judas. And after this, we never see that ever happening again. So don't cast lots to try to find out what the will of God is. The Spirit of God is to lead you. Now we're to be Spirit-led. The Spirit of God inhabits those who are born again, and we're to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. And you become sensitive to the Spirit in your walk with God, and you can pick up on where He's leading you, what He wants you to do. Amen or oh me. Amen. All right, so here we are, and we see that many times Christians are saying, I want to know the will of God for my life. How can I know what is God's will and God's direction from my life? Well, the first primary way, of course, is using the Word of God. The Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. God, even if He does something supernatural in your life, you have an angel encounter, you have an encounter with God, you'll always be able to verify it with the Word. It's a good check and balance for us. I hear Christians today say this phrase, and it bothers me when I hear them say it because I'm not sure they understand what they're saying. We often pick up on Christian cliches that are popular, and we echo them rather than being a voice. And I hear this comment. People will say, God is in control. Well, that sounds good. I hope that's right. But you got to think about this. You got to be careful when you say those things. If God is in control and nothing happens outside of His control, then God has to answer for people getting cancer. Or God will have to answer, since He's in control, of the child being abused, or murder taking place, or the evil in the world. I'm trying to make you think. God is not in control. God is in charge. He's not in control. He put man in control of the world. He gave him dominion. God is in charge. Now, when I say God in charge, you say, what's the difference? God is in charge, but He's not in control of everything that happens. Some people today won't go to church or have anything to do with Christ because they think their loved one died because God took them. An accident happened, God took them. What kind of God is that you serve? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You've already encountered that kind of argument in the world. God is in charge, but he's not in control of everything that happens. He's a genius at being in charge, because those who love God, those who will walk according to the plan of God, God is able to somehow geniusly take all the bad circumstances and turn it around and make good come out of it. I don't know how he does it. He's brilliant. He's a genius. Prove it, preacher. Romans 8:28. And we know. How do we know? Experience. I've had it happen. God's taken a bad circumstance in my life, turned it around, and made good come out of it. How many of you would say that's happened to me? Then you can say with confidence, I know, I'm assured that God, as my partner, I'm walking with him, Romans 8:28, he causes all things to work together, to network together, to come together, eventually fitting into a plan for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose and his design. Well, I wish you'd get as excited about that as I am, because it gives me the faith and the confidence to know that no matter what happens in my life, and there are bad things that happen, but I'm to stand in expectation, anticipation that good is coming upon my life. My life's blessed. Amen. Blessed doesn't mean you don't have trials. In fact, blessed means you have more trials probably than the average person.
That's right. Amen.
But you have the experience and the confidence to know that God is a genius in how he's going to work this. We don't know how he's going to make good come out of this, but he's going to make good come out because he's really good at it. We go back to the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. It's interesting. God prophetically uses them. He even had their names chosen prior to their birth by their parents. Their parents didn't understand what they were doing, obviously, but they chose the name Zechariah for their son, and then Elizabeth's parents chose the name Elizabeth, and their names are even prophetic. I say to you, your name is probably prophetic in your destiny. Zechariah's name means the Lord remembers. Elizabeth's name, her name means my God is an abundant promise. In other words, God is saying through their lives and through this event in their life, God remembers your prayers and he has an abundant number of ways he can bring it about. God is a genius and he has a multitude of ways to work in your life and make his promises come true. Thank you, God. You're a genius. You have a multitude of ways to be able to answer my problem, answer my prayer. I don't know how you're going to do it. You haven't revealed it to me yet. Maybe I don't need to know, but I trust you because you're good, and everything you do is always good, and it's always excellent, so that at the end of my story, I'll be able to stand up in front of a congregation of people and testify, only God. People will walk away shaking their heads and saying, wow, only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. I believe our church is here for such a time as this. I believe our church has gone through many things, and we go through trying times, and we go through all these things, and I've tried to quit and tried to run away several times, but God wouldn't let me. And I didn't want to be like Jonah because we live too near water around here, you know. But I wanted to quit, but God wouldn't let me quit and made it clear, no, you stay, you stay, you stay. And I don't understand and all this and that. And I said, God, there's people smarter than me that know how to grow a church. There are people that know how to do things. And he said, yeah, I know. But I assigned you here. And you get assigned to a church, ladies and gentlemen. Don't take church membership flippantly. God assigns you to a church to grow you, to stretch you for a reason, for a season. And you need to be patient and stay put. In the years that we've been here, for 17 years in this church, we've seen a lot of people wash in and a lot of people wash out. And you can, and in the congregation, many times it stayed much the same as far as the number goes. But if you look at the congregation, it's a different congregation than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. So the church has been growing. If it hadn't been growing, then all those people washed out, nobody would have come in. He brought a fresh crowd, a fresh group. Tag, you're it. He wants to use you for such a time as this to see a miracle happen right here in this place where it hasn't happened yet. He wants to see a miraculous growth in his church so everybody out there in this area around here will hear a testimony, and this church, it grows, and people say, only God. It wasn't how smart the preacher was. It wasn't how organized the preacher was. It wasn't how smart the people were. It wasn't because they had a lot of money. It wasn't because they had anything going on that was particular. It was only God. If I were to make you a cake, I wouldn't recommend you eat it, but if I were to make you a cake, I imagine I would go to the store and buy a cake mix. That's what I would do. I wouldn't make it from scratch. I would buy a box cake. Then I would read the directions. And it says, Gary, now you got to use eggs. You got to use milk. I need your help here. I don't know what else goes in there. Oil. And if I follow directions, like it said, and I make the cake, and I put it in the pan, and I put it in the oven. And it says it has to bake for how long? 45 minutes, whatever it is, okay? I follow the directions, and I do that. Then would you eat the cake? Brian, you wouldn't eat my cake? If I followed directions, if I did I put all the right ingredients. Now, if I messed up and didn't put in one of the ingredients, yeah, I could say, yeah, you wouldn't want to take it. What?
If it's chocolate.
It's for you, it's chocolate. It'd be for chocolate for me, too. So I got this chocolate cake, see, and if I missed some of the ingredients, no, it wouldn't taste right. You would say, ugh, don't eat his cake. It's not very good, you know. But if I did all that, the cake should come out right. In your life, God is making a cake that other people are going to taste your testimony, and they're going to say, the Lord is really good. And right now, your cake is not done. There are certain ingredients that are not added yet. Maybe you're going through a trial right now, and you're worried, or you're scared, or whatever. I want to tell you, just be patient. God is an excellent cook, an excellent baker. He's making all the ingredients that have to come in your life, he will bring them at their appropriate time. And then you'll cook in the oven for a particular amount of time. And if you let God do the cooking, and if you'll trust God to bring all the right ingredients at the right time in your life, you will be a delicious cake. And people will say, the Lord is really good. Only God could have done this. And your testimony will affect eternity. And there'll be people saved in heaven, be in heaven because of your testimony. You've heard three surprises in heaven will be when you first get there. You'll be surprised. You look around and you'll wonder, why aren't there some people that you thought would be there and they're not there? Second surprise in heaven will be you'll look around and you'll see some people you didn't expect to be there. And they're there. And the third surprise will be people will look at you and say, how did you get here? God's working. He's working in your life and he's working through your circumstances. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this. It says, God makes all things beautiful in its appropriate time. There's a time for everything. There's a time for leanness. There's a time for prosperity. God is working in your life. If things are not really great in your trial right now, maybe it's not time yet. Give God time. And the other thing is very clear is that God is a good God, and we know all things work together for good. So if it's not good, or you look at your life and you say, I don't see any good coming out of this in my life right now. Be patient. God's still working. Have the faith and have the confidence to say with your mouth, I don't know when, that's not up to me, but I know all things work together for good in my life. God promised it. He'll take every situation, make good come out of it. Thank you. One person believes that. Praise God. No, I know you do. I know you do. Now, let's go back to the story of Zacharias, and I'm going to wind this down here quickly. Luke chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Look what happened. Zechariah is chosen by lot to go in, and he goes in, he puts on his priestly robe, and he goes into this holy place that only the priest could go, and he goes in with an honor of God upon his life. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me, allowing me to do this. He goes in to put incense upon the altar, which represents the prayers of the saints, and there he has an encounter with an angel. He didn't expect it, didn't plan for it. The angel of God shows up, and he's shocked and in awe that the angel's there. And the angel says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. May I say a prophetic word to you right now? Your prayer has been heard. Act like it. Believe it. Even though you don't understand how it's going to work and how it's going to turn out or when you're going to see the change, know that your prayer has been heard. And he says, Elizabeth, your wife's going to bear a son. And they were in their old age. His name's going to be John. He's going to turn many of Israel to the Lord. And Zechariah says, a really dumb thing. You expect me to believe this? I'm old, my wife's old. He's only seeing things in the natural, just like you and I do so much of the time, and that's where your doubt and unbelief comes. And the angel said, excuse me, I don't think you know who I am. I'm not just a little angel, I'm Gabriel. I'm the one who stands in the very presence of God, and God himself sent me to deliver this message to you. And this is good news whether you believe it or not. Because you don't believe, you're not going to be able to speak a word. Your mouth's going to mess everything up, so I'm going to shut your mouth up until John's born. That might be a prayer we need to pray over certain people. Lord, shut their mouth until you get them where they can see it's happening. Well, he probably should have done that to me many times as well. Until you see in God's time what I've said is true. I love that. What was Zechariah's problem? His problem was our problem. I'll tell you what my problem has been sometimes, because I can't see any good coming out of a situation, and I'm begging God to change things or get me... out of this situation, out of this trouble. And Zechariah's problem was he prayed like this. He prayed like that. Instead, he needed to pray like this. Bring your head below your heart. Bring your understanding underneath your heart. Your heart believes, but your head's trying to talk you out of it. Bring your head below your heart. To walk by faith, you're going to have to bring your head below your heart. Because your head's going to keep asking, well, I don't understand, and why this and why that. And if God, if this is true, how come this is happening? If this is true, and God, how am I going to know? How am I supposed to believe this? When the doctor said this or whatever. Are you understanding? This is where your life is headed. You're heading to one of these only God moments in your life. And the best thing to do when you're troubled is to bring your head below your heart. God, I don't have to understand. You told me in Proverbs 3, don't lean into my understanding. God, I can't understand. Your thoughts are so much higher than mine. Your ways are so much different from mine. I can't understand you. God, you're too great. But I believe you. And I trust you. Now you're headed in the right direction. Most of the time when an angel of the Lord comes or delivers a message, people were troubled first before they believed. Another incident happened where the same angel visits a young lady by the name of Mary. You know the story. Mother of Jesus, the womb that carried Jesus. And the angel came to Mary and he told her even more absurd things were about to happen in her life than what Zacharias and Elizabeth heard. You're a virgin, but you're going to have a baby. And she says, well, how, Lord? I mean, I don't know a man. I'm a virgin. He said, yeah, I know that. But well, what's going to happen to you is the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And what's conceived in you is from God. Now, how many of you would have a question after that? Because it's never happened before. We never heard of such a thing before. Doesn't God have an abundant way to make His miracles come to pass in your life? But Mary, not understanding how the details or anything like that, she responds with her head below her heart. Be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. I don't understand you. I don't even understand what you're telling me is going to happen. I can't figure all that. I can't begin. But be it unto me. Mary was troubled first when she heard this. If you read Luke chapter 1, verse 29, Mary was troubled. I'm telling you, your only God testimony that God's building in your life right now, you're going to experience a troubled heart before you're going to experience a believing heart. Wow. I don't understand. I can't figure this out. Your heart is troubled. Zechariah, Elizabeth, their hearts were troubled when they heard this news. You're troubled when you recognize it. God has told you something you don't understand is going to happen. But years later, after all this happened, this was all within 6 months of one another, Zechariah and Elizabeth told their story for the rest of their lives. Anybody who would stop to listen, they would say, hey, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what happened to us. And they would tell their story. They would share their story. And people would walk away shaking their heads saying, wow, that only God could do that. And the same thing is true of your life and your testimony. You're to be sharing your testimony with people in these moments where you have these encounters with God and these experiences with God, these miracles from God, the provision of God, wherever it may be, and people going, wow, only God. Only God. But your head has got to get below your heart. And so one simple yes to God without understanding how it's going to work out will radically change your life. Mary just said, yes, Lord. Wow, look at the faith. Yes, Lord. And that's why I challenged you earlier this morning. Say yes to God before you understand. Say yes to God without understanding. God, whatever it is that you want to do, take my life and use it to make an eternal difference in heaven. That there'll be people in heaven because of what you did in my life. They heard the testimony. Whether you write it out, whether you speak it out, whatever it is, get your testimony ready to share with people. It's an only God testimony. One simple yes. That's all God wants from us. God is so profoundly simple. I've been asking God that question lately. You've heard me preach about it. I've been saying, God, what do you want from me? Lord, what do you want from my life? What do you want for Grace Tabernacle? Right there. He wants you to say yes. When he calls you to stretch, you'll say yes. When he calls you to give, you'll say yes. When he calls you to testify, you'll say yes. When he calls you to service in the church, in the community, you'll say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. Say yes before you understand. That's all he wants. That's all he wants from me. Gary, I just want you to say yes to me. Don't say no to me. Say yes. And so I said yes. Yes, Lord. Here as long as you want me. Here to do whatever you want me to do. Doesn't matter. And so God, the angel said to Mary, you know these words. Mary, you are highly favored. May I tell you something you probably don't believe? You are highly favored. You're very special. The same, you're not going to deliver the baby Jesus in your womb, of course, but the same grace that's upon Mary is upon you, and even in greater measure. You are highly favored. Highly, highly favored. But may I tell you, the truth is most of you don't believe that. Oh, you'll say yes in church, but you don't really believe it. And you'll say, you'll bring up things, well, God, if I'm highly favored, then why is this happening in my life? And God, why haven't I seen the miracle signs and wonders? May I say to you, you're just like me. I've said the same thing. There's another man in the Bible that said the same thing. His name was Gideon. In Judges chapter 6, he was hiding out in the wine press because the land of Israel was being terribly oppressed. They were being stolen from, robbed. Every bit of prosperity they tried to have in their life was stolen by the enemy. And an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and he says, "Hail, mighty man of God!" This is a guy hiding out in the wine press. And at first it says, Gideon was troubled. He was troubled because if I'm a mighty man of God, if I am highly favored, why is all this mess happening in my life? How come we don't see the miracles that we used to hear about? If I'm highly, why? He was troubled. May I say to you, you're going to have to be troubled in your heart before you're going to fully believe. And the angel of the Lord didn't even listen to his negative comments. I think sometimes God doesn't even respond to our negativity. It's like he didn't hear it. He just goes on and tells him what he's going to do in his life. And in Judges chapter 6, finally at the end, when Gideon is given all of his excuses and his questions, you know, all this bad stuff happened in my life. And I'm the least qualified, God. I don't know anything. And I'm from the smallest tribe. And blah, blah, blah. All the reasons why, excuses why God can't use him. And finally, the Lord revealed himself to Gideon. It wasn't an angel. It was the Lord himself. And he said, because I'm with you. Is that enough for you? Is it enough for you to God say, you're highly favored, you're blessed, you're going to be a blessing in the world, I'm going to do miracles, signs, and wonders in your life when it's the right time, when the cake is ready to be delivered, I'm going to use your life in ways that's going to far exceed anything you know how to even ask, pray, or think for, but it's going to happen. Do you believe? Will you say yes to me? Yes, Lord. Now, why is that going to happen, God? Because I'm Emmanuel. Because I'm with you. Is that all I need to know, God? That's all you need to know. In fact, don't let me confuse you with the facts. That's all you need to know. Let's keep it simple. Because Emmanuel. You can write that book because Emmanuel's with you. You can do that incredible project that you have in your mind, not because you're smart, not because you're gifted, but because God is with you. You can give that income and that money that God has put up on your heart because God's with you. If He told you to do it, you do it. You can do these things that far exceed our natural ability, because at the end of the day, our testimony that we're going to be just bragging about when we get to heaven is going to be two words, only God. How were you able to do that? Only God. It wasn't me. It wasn't how smart I was. It wasn't my intelligence. It was only God. That's God's mysterious signature that He signs on His handiwork, His art. Only God. And it comes out of your mouth and the mouths of those who hear you. Sure is quiet in here. Today could be the start of something awesome and great with God's signature all over it in this church. It could have been that He waited for such a time as this. It could that He waited until the right people were in the right place. It could have been a timing thing. It could have been a multitude of reasons that we'll never understand. But today could be the day that is a paradigm shift in God's people in this church, that we begin to do something that only God can do. And we're all amazed at the favor. We're amazed at the income that comes in. We're amazed at the people that come in. We're amazed at the salvation testimonies. We're amazed at how the broadcast of the internet goes out all over the world and reaches people. We're amazed that we become a worldwide influence, not just a local influence. We're amazed only because God can do this, all because it was such a time as this, God got the right people in the right place. It's a Kairos moment where He says, now I've got people who said yes to me and my assignment for them without them even knowing what it is. They trust me that much. Now I can work with that. So I here I stand again before you, Lord, in front of these witnesses. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever it is, yes. Yes. I'm willing to be made willing, too, if I'm not. Would you stand to your feet? This is a time to settle the issue. Who is really the Lord of your life? Not just in word only. There'll be many, Jesus said, in that day who will stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that in your name? And He's going to say to many of them, depart from me, for I never knew you. Only those who do the will of God are the true believers. Faith is not just talk, it's action. God said it. We move on it. We don't know how we're going to get it done. We don't know where the resources are at. I heard a testimony yesterday of a pastor on television talking about the first time that he felt like the Lord told him, I want you to go on radio and broadcast. This was years ago. And he said yes to God, knowing he didn't even have the money to do it. Many times you have to say yes to God and start moving. You can't wait. Well, God, if you send me the money, I'll do it. No. If God said it, that's all you need to know. Emmanuel, God's with me. He'll bring it in. He'll bring what we need in. I'm believing in this church that God is bringing in the right people and putting them in the right place. We may have to shift and move things around, and we have to learn that certain people are for right things and certain people are not for those things. And God will show us But he uses the weak things of the world to confound the wise. He doesn't need your wisdom. He just needs a heart that rises above the head and says yes when nobody else is saying it. God doesn't work through a lot of people. He always works through a remnant. It's a small group of people, probably within our church too. Remember, Gideon had to be told, let most of those people go. Let them go. And he had a Gideon revival, a backdoor church revival, where the majority of the people had to leave, thousands of people. And he finally got down to 300 that said, yes, we're with you. Let's go do this. I'm asking God to speak to your heart. I'm asking you to be a yes person. And if you're like me, sometimes, to be honest, is a place where you have to come before the Lord and lay your head below your heart and say, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. I don't want to miss out on my time. We're all here for such a time as this. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar and just talk to God about what you've heard. He's challenging your heart about something. Come right now. Maybe there's a trial you're going through. You can't see any good in it. Just assume God is not done putting all the ingredients together. He's not done baking yet. Trust him. Come and lay it down before him and say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord. Don't let me continue to walk by my understanding, but help me to walk by faith. So at the end of this thing, it'll be only God. Only you can do this. Only you can grow your church. Only you can build this church. Only you, God. Only you can do a miraculous work here among these people. I can't. Only you, God. And I ask you to give me like-minded people right now who will like me say, yes, Lord. Whatever it is you need from me, I will do it. I'm asking you to be those people right now. Come up here with me. I need to know who's with me. I need to know that you're involved. I need to know that you're willing to be a risk taker. Faith demands that you take a risk. Just give me the people who I know, God. I can trust, and they're willing to take whatever risk it is to lead this church into 2021. And if you're physically able, I would encourage you to put your head below your heart and lean not into your own understanding. And if you can't, God understands that. Just tell him. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Use it. Use me. I'm available. You need someone to lead a small group? Pastor, just tell me. I'll do whatever it is. When you ask for volunteers, Pastor, I'll be one of the first ones that raise my hand. Because I believe this message today you're speaking is coming from the heart of God to his church. And we're here for such a time as this. Pastor, when you reveal a need, what you need here, just I'll be one of the first to say yes. Even if I don't understand what it is, I'll do it. I'm here. I'm with you. I believe. Trust God, and I believe God is working in and through this church in my life, and I thank him for it. Hallelujah. 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 Let this become an only God church. There's lots of great churches around this area. This is a unique church. It's the only one of its kind that I know of here in this area. That's why we've had a lot of opposition. That's why we've had a lot of persecution. That's why we've had a lot of people leave, because they say, you know, I don't know if I can be part of that. Well, it may not be for you. This is a unique church. We're not like other churches. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be who we are. And God planted this church here for such a time as this. Satan has done everything he possibly can to kill, rob, and destroy. And he's going to continue. We expect it. But we're not frightened by that. We expect great things from God. We anticipate miracles, signs, and wonders. We expect God to call in leaders, not just Indians, but I need some leaders to help. People that can do things and I not have to try to micromanage it. I thank you, God, for that. You have given some wonderful people here. I can't thank you enough for so many that come to my mind right now who've already said yes to you. And even though I'm a flawed leader, a flawed man, I make mistakes and do all kinds of things, we're going to walk in love together. We're going to walk in mercy. We're going to walk in grace. And all the attention is going to be upon the Lord. He's the only one that deserves any glory. And we're going to be in awe of him. Father, I pray your blessing now. Everyone here at this altar, you know their hearts. You've heard their prayers. Surprise them this week in the way that you will begin to exercise your right and authority to use them because they said yes. Help them to quickly recognize a divine assignment, whether it come in the small, menial task of bringing a neighbor's garbage can in because you told them to do it, whether it means to be available to take a sick person to the hospital just because you told them. May they start seeing the hand of God in their life, in the little things, and then in the big things. Use them, God, because they said yes. And may their lives have your signature all over their life. They have testimony after testimony. Only God could have done this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You take as long as you need. When you're done, it's fine. God bless you. You were released. If you need to stay, pray, just stay right there. The worship team's going to continue to worship. Do your business with God. Just between you and him.